Hey, I'm Jake Bradbury.
And I'm Will Blank.
And we are 20th Century Fox, a film collective that produced 16 short films. And for each film, we made a behind-the-scenes podcast.
This podcast has director of photography Alejandro Wilkins. Although this is easily the biggest risk we took with a not-safe-for-work ending, it's also the short that started the mantra, if everyone laughs at an idea, then it's obvious there's something there and we need to explore it. The idea of this short came from the three of us looking around Will's apartment and seeing the beautiful natural light hitting his collection of houseplants, proving that great ideas and inspiration can come from literally anywhere.
All right, let's go.
We're doing the Constant Gardener today. It's Jake.
It's Jake.
It's Jake.
And I'm Will.
And I'm Alejandro.
And so the Constant Gardener.
Yeah.
How did this one happen? How did we do it?
Man.
Stroke of genius, I
think. This was after Any Given Sunday. And Any Given Sunday was our first one. And then this was our second one. So I remember getting together at Will's place. And we were still trying to come up with how we were going to do these things. Like, you know, the ideas were flowing. We're just like, okay, we're going to make something today. But what are we going to make? And we're looking around Will's apartment. And we're like, okay, he has plants.
I think we were going to go a completely different route. Yeah. And then it was Alejandro who spotted the plants and said, those plants are really pretty.
Well, yeah, not only that, right. It's always the light in this apartment, mm-hmm, that comes through his shears. And we usually sit on the front couch when we're talking about stuff, and I could always see it. And that day, I remember the light was just coming gloriously through.
It's beautiful light.
It is
flowing onto these plants.
That's that first shot. That first shot is these beautiful plants.
Yeah. What's the story of all the plants there?
Yeah.
Obviously, because of the light, but why do you?
Why do I have them?
Yeah, it evolved. It wasn't.
It was funny because my roommate, before my current roommate, really wanted to have houseplants, and I didn't want to have them because I thought they would just have, they'd be like spider homes. I'd be like setting up like spider Ewok villages. And I was like, I don't want that shit in my house. And he was like, dude, that's ridiculous. Like, just let me get one and just see if you like it.
Oh, I totally thought it was your idea.
Mm-hmm. No. So he got them, and he got ones that he brought, and when he moved out, he took them with him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I missed what they brought to the house. They actually do give a feeling. And so then I bought some, and I was like, I really like that. So then I went and bought more, and then now there's a whole like arrangement of different. Those are all different ones that I picked out at various points because I like them. And then they look nice, and I've taken Instagram photos of them.
Dude, they do, and the way the light comes through,
yeah,
it's just placed very well. And I like how you've adorned them with the little. What do you call it? The anime figures?
Oh, yeah. And they have little Miyazaki figurines all through them. Like it's a small little micro village of Miyazaki characters.
And then I think it was my idea to be like, he should masturbate on those plants.
Well, I think my idea was, what about a guy who's like really into his houseplants? And then you took it a step further.
Let's get him to be on those houseplants.
Dude, I was totally with you though.
What?
Jake. I think, from what I remember, this was a really long time ago, but I think when you said that, I was thinking, like, in my head, I was like, okay, that would be overboard, but you were so there, so I was just totally on the same page, like, yeah, go that far.
I think what we decided that day is if we all laughed hysterically at it, then we could make it.
Yeah, and that actually became the template for every idea going forward, is if one of us, or if we all burst out laughing at the idea, then it was good.
Then there was a kernel of something there that was super funny and that we could go forward with.
Maybe it was good that we went that far on this first one, literally nudity, so that none of the other ones, because none of the other ones for me went that far.
Mm-mm, no.
But it allowed for so many other things to be... for us to be capable of.
That's what I loved about this stuff, is just that we were just like, okay, how far can we go? What can we do to make this like hilarious and weird and awesome?
Do you remember the discussion about whether or not he should be nude or
I said it was totally up to Will.
We were and I was of course 100% game to do it, because I'm like, yeah, let's I'm ready to sacrifice for my art. But what did we...
You guys were discussing it. I remember that.
I think we were discussing who was going to be in it, maybe?
Yeah, we were trying to discuss who's going to be in it, and I was fine ultimately showing
and
my
I was
ass.
Like, I don't know. I haven't been keeping it tight recently.
But
so.
but it was a choice as to whether or not I was going to have socks on or not.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought it was more insane to have the socks on.
Good choice.
The socks are really good, and you don't notice the socks, but they're at different lengths, which I think is a really funny, just sort of real thing. You know, one of them's taller than the other one. It's just something that's so real.
I mean, the best part, though, is you guys essentially facing the wall. You're like, as I'm doing that, we had to do multiple takes of it, but you're doing the using the boom, and then you're behind the camera, and each of you is just like averting your eyes.
Yes. I didn't
as
want
I
to
have
look.
To vigorously masturbate Get over and position. Over again.
I didn't want
to
look.
And do the different, because we shot the different variations of no socks, with socks. Like, we really, for some reason, we're really,
really
hung
going
up
for
on,
it. Yeah, really
you
going
know, what
for
was
going
to be funniest.
Was it this one where you were, like, worried about being in front of that window for too long?
Oh, I was worried that people could see through
the sheer curtain.
And see me just standing there naked like a psychopath.
Yeah, there, we didn't have any, like... little thong thing or whatever that we could paint out later. That was full on.
It's full on. You know, he went for it, and I appreciate that, man. It showed me commitment to your craft.
Thank you.
If that's what you want to call it.
Well, so you know, what's interesting is that I watched a bunch of videos recently about like story structure and the hero's journey and stuff like that. You know, and trying to sort of like fit. I was thinking, how do we fit these pieces into that monomyth?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and in what sense does this have a beginning, middle, and end for you? Like, what I break it down, like analyze this piece from a story standpoint. Either of you,
you have a hero, and he obviously is infatuated with his plants, which everyone can relate to. You know, everyone has to love something. He seems like a very lonely guy. So you can immediately, the audience can identify with him, you know, they can empathize with him. And then he really, really loves his plants, which is
which
totally unexpected.
Yeah.
And it gets a giggle and also laughter, you know.
But he has to sweet talk him first.
He does. Almost he doesn't
like,
just go right in.
Yeah, like he's had problems before. Yeah. Maybe they pricked him or something. Or, I don't know, maybe the sun wasn't right.
Now,
who knows
the lines.
I think he pricks them.
Right. The lines, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I wrote out a bunch of lines for you.
Well, we did.
Yeah.
We
say.
Each wrote, a bunch of, like, I did some improvising, you did some improvising, and we wrote out for each plant, which plants we chose, which plants we were going to do.
Right, that's what it is.
Which ones were the most visually interesting.
Yeah.
And then gave them names. And it was important that one of them was a dude.
Was
it wasn't just all, I was just jerking off on all my female plants.
It's even creepier in a different way.
Yeah, it's creepier if I will bang both genders of plants.
And actually, the Leonard one is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Just a little clipping, give him a little haircut. Just give him a little haircut. Hey, guy.
But, so I can only break it down from a story standpoint to the extent that it has a beginning, a middle, and it has a climax.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally. So you can just say
butt-up-ch.
It fits from that. Angle, but it does. It's not a story per se. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a glimpse.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot of short films are moments in time. I feel, and then you can build your own perspective around it. Like this, we could expand it further, but I don't know. Did you want to say any more than this little thing?
No,
I think
no.
It was more fun because it didn't have. The regular structure.
Well, and it works for me. I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just sort of like, when you think about structure and story structure and what people say makes a good story, where do we fall on that spectrum? Are we actually falling on that spectrum? Or
I was kind of joking before, but I would actually say that the comedy comes from character in this point. And like, I like the comedies I tend to like a lot always come from character. And you recognize this guy to some degree. You could picture this guy.
He's like a cat lady, essentially, but his plants.
He's just very into his plants. And then you take it a step overboard, and he's really into his plants. I just think it's all the comedy from this piece comes from character and not necessarily like witty dialogue.
Yeah, and I feel like so much of it can be built later through the audience. Like you're saying, you guys could figure out this character. and give it, it's give him a beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. We only need to show a glimpse. And then everybody's like, well, I could see that happening, or I kind of get loving your plans, but I would never go that far. And I understand, like, eventually where would this go, or what's wrong with this guy? All those questions.
Yeah.
That's what's so fun about the short. But I'm curious also, why is it funny to me? Outside of the fact that it's so extreme.
Yeah. I feel like you are predicting when you're watching it. You're like, God, he really loves his plants. And in your own mind, you say, he seems like he wants to fuck these plants. Like, it's too much. It's a little creepy. But and then, but you don't assume we're going to go there.
No, but so. See, I would assume. That's why when you brought it up, mm-hmm. I was so game. Because mm-hmm. I was like, that's what I would assume. But nobody would actually nobody do. Would actually,
but that's the thing. That's what everybody's thinking. So there's no way that they would actually go that far.
Do you think everybody's thinking that? Because
I think it does. I think that's really what it does. Yeah. I think it makes you think it's going to go there. At some point,
anybody is thinking that they'll go that far. But they don't think they actually will.
Yeah, yeah.
Something else that I wanted to mention is, like, I love how short these things are, and I love how short this one is in particular, because you were saying before about a glimpse of this guy.
Yeah.
It always, always leaves the audience wanting more, I think. Everybody who I've shown this to has been like, oh, well, what happens next? And it's like, well,
you can imagine what will happen next?
Yeah, you can imagine what happens next. This guy, if you live in his life for a day, I mean, what does his day-to-day look like? I don't know. It's just... I think that the time really lends itself to the comedy because we don't have 12 minute. I see so many 10, 12 minute shorts where half of it didn't have to be there. So I really appreciate how quick these things are. Boom, boom.
There's something also about how it was presented, where we're seeing this world. That's hidden from most people, and that glimpse also because it's so short feels like we just got a peek of something that probably happened.
Voyeuristic,
and it feels like I think maybe the way that we shot it and the way that we placed certain angles and things like that it was that it felt like. Will was just being natural,
mm-hmm.
and like you could see what it was like. It was just playing out in front of us rather than us pinpointing or pushing it in front of us too much.
So in terms of shooting it, what did? Because this was, I mean, I've gotten a lot of compliments about the cinematography, especially in this one.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So what were you thinking when you were shooting it?
First of all, single source,
mm-hmm.
big single source, a big, beautiful, soft single source
mm-hmm.
was
the original reason
why I saw the window, and that would be amazing. And everything came from there
mm-hmm.
and it allows itself for its own bouncing around the room. And I don't know if we augmented it at all.
I think we actually at one point were shooting with a light and not with the window.
Only for the close-ups, like when we shot the little bobblehead guys, the ghosts from Spirited Away, watching. That's when we brought in the light.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me.
Spirits of the Forest.
Good Lord.
Jeez.
Can we erase all of this now? I've lost all credibility now.
You were worried about, you know,
it's back when we were trying
shit
to put,
that you'd regret, and now the you Easter, just did it.
It's back when we were trying to put the Easter egg of a Miyazaki little figurine in every piece that we did.
No.
Gave up on that.
Yeah, well, we should explain that too. But as far, I really liked how this was colored and lit. This is the first time I shot with the Ursa Mini Pro,
mm-hmm.
which Will had won.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was excited. We used diopters, but I think we just made it real simple. We just kept it real simple. And it was the first, for me, it was the first outing since we had gotten off a Sunday, which wasn't as simple.
Bunch of setups, yeah.
Yeah, this one, we really simplified everything. And same with cinematography, took the one light source, looked at the parameters of what we have available to us, which was a camera that can handle that latitude, but also, you know, we could play in the shadows a little bit, but at least room for color, and then know that I was going to be able to grade a little bit and just get naturalistic tones. And that's what our aim was. And we executed, I think, on those lines without being too elaborate or anything. I don't know why. Honestly, this was the one that I respond to mostly when I watch them. This and The Purge, I think The Purge kind of turned it back around, where it's just like, we don't need to build it so big. It can be just this moment. And we... I don't know how many shots that was, but it was really...
One character.
Really quick.
One moment.
Standing in front of a window. Yeah,
standing in front of a window.
And that little... I mean, like, little things that we integrated, like the push-in in the beginning on the skateboard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which focuses you on the plants, right?
Or was that a pull-out or the push-in?
It's a push-in.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, and then utilizing the one light source that we had. Yeah.
What have been the reactions from people that you've shown it to? Because I've been surprised by the reactions, honestly.
Surprised how?
That they've been super positive.
Yeah.
You had some negative reactions, I thought.
Me?
Yeah, didn't you? Like, when you showed it to some people, they thought it was like Me Too or something.
No. What was funny, though, is that did come up. I meant to mention that before, is when I thought about the plants, one of the reasons why... I think I was for it was because the Louis C.K. thing had come out, and I thought that would be really relevant because apparently he was jerking off on plants.
That's right. No,
that
right?
was Weinstein that was jerking off
on plants. No, I think Louis C.K. did.
Why was he jerking off on plants?
Huh?
Why was he jerking off?
I think he was just jerking off in general.
He was jerking off in front of people, but then I read something about him jerking off into a plant. Okay,
yeah, I believe it.
And so I thought that was funny and would be pretty relevant, which is another thing about these sort of concepts. I don't know if you guys, obviously I'm more of a camera side, but when we're talking about them, the ones that seem to be most interesting to me are the ones that are really relevant. Like, I always wanted to do one on the bird scooters because they're so relevant, but yeah. What do you guys feel?
I didn't think of relevance.
Yeah, I didn't think of relevance. No.
I didn't want to be associated with any of that shit.
Yeah,
no, I just thought I was about... actually like, that's the problem with this video, is it'll make people think of that.
You know what I mean? Well, some people definitely referred to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's open to, once you make something and you put it out there, it's open to interpretation. So I think anybody can think anything about what we did and can associate it in both a positive and a negative way. In terms of, you know, jerking off on plants. It's absurd. It's funny. It's supposed to be funny.
But it's also assault. It's also like, well, the plants can't consent. But it's but the plants absurd. Are plants. That's so absurd. That's what I'm saying, though, is it gives you the feeling of violating the plants, even though they're not anything.
Right.
So it's this weird tease.
I never got that feeling, though. So yeah, that's I didn't such get that feeling at all. It's true, though.
Yeah.
If like, you think about it that way, in this whole or thing? You just think about it as like, this is a very weird dude, and he's not really hurting anybody.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah, but that's the thing, is we're doing all this edgy shit that actually is just somebody masturbating.
Right.
Really, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you know somebody does. That's the
somebody
funny
gets
thing.
Off that way.
Apparently, there are comedians out there that like to jerk off on plants. Apparently, allegedly, I don't know.
Allegedly.
But,
yeah, I think it was really interesting. The people that I showed it to that I thought were going to react to it negatively actually loved it. Really thought it was funny.
Yeah, I thought I had to always put a big disclaimer beforehand. It's like,
not safe for work.
Yeah, and also it might be a little much for you, whatever. And one of my friends, who I remember specifically like putting a big disclaimer, thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
She thought it was really funny. And for whatever reason, it was just like, I thought it was just like, okay, because all of a sudden it's going to break out into a guy jerking off. And it's like, I guess it's offensive to some people, but.
I haven't met anybody who's has been offensive to. Have you?
Not really.
No, not really.
Not as far as offended. Maybe somebody's just like, oh, that's not my taste.
I've definitely had people who don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
But very few that are like, offended or whatever.
Also, we're not showing like full-on peen, so it's not like, you know, it's a butt.
This is just surprising because it's somebody they know.
That's true.
Will,
that
did is anybody true. Really...
Okay, what has been the most positive reaction?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I've gotten some compliments on my ass, but not as many compliments as I would have liked to receive on my ass.
Of course, right.
So, you know, it's a work in progress. Yeah. But
some people said, have you been working out?
Yeah, some people have said that. So
it's nice.
You know, I'll take that. I'll take it.
Yeah.
The edit. Oh, you guys were wondering about the edit? Yeah, I can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
so editing-wise, though, the only real thing that was happening with regards to the sound was like the pattern of pre-lapping everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you hear the clipping, the snips beforehand. You hear me sort of like crouching down beforehand, and those helped because there's no motivation for any of the cuts, really. Everything is its own, every interaction with a plant is its own singular shot, and there's no flow from shot to shot. That was my way of creating a flow, was to pre-lap all of the sounds beforehand, and then that ultimately has its own payoff in the mystery of hearing the jerking off noises, and then there's a little plate rattle because it's supposed to be like I'm jerking off so hard that I'm rattling like the pottery. and so, yeah, that's kind of the only stuff editing wise. But we purposefully cut me out when I walk in and I say, "Hey guys," which was 80 yard, I think, because we wanted to make sure it was focused just on the plants starting off. And then I'm revealed in the next shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really
hope. How about sound design?
Yeah.
So I just tried to maintain the like street noises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Recently did a mix with Brandon, and it's meant to be really sparse. You just focus on my words. You feel like you're inside of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I think we mostly just used room tone that we recorded to create that ambience. And then there was a bunch of crows out that day. And there's something about the crows that I mean, I placed them. Any crow that you hear, it's a placed sound. And they were, the vibe is like there's death somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like crows, it's like something's wrong somewhere for me. They give me that vibe. Yeah. And so this guy ending up being some sort of freakish plant jerker. It is foreshadowed for me by hearing that.
The crows.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't even pay attention to the crows.
That's the thing about sound design, though. If you're doing it right, nobody pays attention to it, but it's somehow
really subtle.
I mean, I pay attention to the stuff that I see on screen. I think the off-screen stuff, or like the stuff that you can't tell if you're putting that in there, that's the stuff that's like, it probably affects me, but I don't notice it.
The subtlety. Sound design.
But yeah, that's about it from my post-production end.
Yeah. I'm excited about what this piece, you know, how people are going to react to it. I'm excited to see what it does and what it is.
Yeah.
So
recording these before we've released anything.
Because I feel like anybody like me would laugh their ass off.
Oh, yeah. How did you come up with the title?
Oh, which is oh my God.
It's just like the perfect title. It just came to me.
That started the theme.
Yeah. So, you know, we always want to name all these things after big Hollywood movies, and the more prestigious the films, the better it is. And I don't even know how I came up with it. I was just toying around ideas or toying around names, and I said The Constant Gardener, and suddenly it was like, Will was like, that's perfect.
I think I just burst out laughing. Yeah, I think perfect. I like cackled because it was so funny to me.
Because, you know, The Constant Gardener is this big Hollywood lauded film, and
I've always hated the title of it. Actually, I hate that title. What the fuck does that even mean? The Constant Gardener. So what the fuck does that mean? And so, I still don't know. It's a romance. That movie's a romance. Yeah. I don't. It's like a war torn romance.
To take that title and put it to this, and it to work so well, and to have it take on a new meaning, but also be named the other movie. It sort of started the trend of trying to find the perfect title for every film that we did.
I feel like there's a reason why they named that movie The Constant Gardener, and we should know.
I gotta see it. I still haven't seen The Constant Gardener.
It's probably that he's a constant gardener.
I don't remember. He likes to garden. I think.
You know,
he's got a green thumb. You know,
if anybody out there knows why it's called The Constant Gardener, let us know.
Yes.
Anybody who's actually seen this movie.
And this was the
it's Ralph Fiennes in it.
Who? Rafe?
Rafe. Ralph. Ralph Fiennes.
I don't get it. Why do you pronounce his name Rafe if it's know. Ralph? Anybody?
It's prestigious.
From where he's you know, from?
Nobody can be named the thing that they're actually named. And Rachel Weisz? Is that right? Who's in that movie?
Weisz.
Weisz?
Both Rachel of their names Weisz. You can't pronounce. Anyway, that's The Constant Gardener. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And
you like my ass?
Wait, talk yeah. about the Miyazaki motif.
Oh, and then we were trying to do the Miyazaki motif.
Mm-hmm.
Which is having started little characters one. And figurines that were in my house and integrating them into every piece like an Easter egg.
It actually started with Any Given Sunday because you had a Miyazaki.
Oh, yeah, you had it. I had my own stuff.
Tokyo. So the very first one that we did, and then we're like, why don't we just integrate it to everyone? And we did it in like 5 or 6 of them,
yeah.
but not every single one. It would have been nice to keep it consistent, but it's just sometimes it didn't happen.
They're fun.
They are fun, the Easter eggs. So if you find all of them, you get a prize.
But some of the videos don't have them, so you might just go insane.
Yeah.
Before you ever...
you should never have said that.
Well, no, I mean, now you don't know.
Every single video.
They still have to look. They don't know which ones don't have it, so they still could lose their minds.
Maybe there'll be a contest at the end.
Yeah.
They name all the Miyazaki characters.
Maybe a contest to like have someone come over and do a short with them. I don't know. That'd be fun.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. So you heard it here first, folks.
We need more than our friends and family to watch or listen to this. Otherwise, we're going to be doing this with my mom.
Come on over, and we'll make a short.
Could it be? Is that so wrong?
All right, fine.
Okay.
Cool, we did it.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Cutting.